And I ain't going to sing it tonight either. Y'all remember Geraldine? She's really under the weather. She's got sickness, and Bud and Anna as well. Are there any other announcements I need to make other than that one? Betsy, was that it? Okay. Remember Geraldine. Remember Bud and Anna. They all three of those are very, very sick. I thought there was one more, but I was not sure. Take your Bibles. Go to John chapter 15. Title of this message is He Chose Me. It could probably change throughout the message, but I'm going to say some truthful things tonight in this message that are, they're just truthful. Amen? They might be offensive to the world, but they're really not offensive to God. They're just truthful. And sometimes, you know, it's okay to, if the word offends you, you got one option. Change, right? If you don't change, eventually the word will change you. And what I mean by the word is God. He'll change you. This kind of started from my favorite verse. Somebody asked a question earlier in the week on social media, what is your favorite verse? And I'm coming to this, and there's a lot more. The more I've read and the longer I've been in the Word now, I've got a few more favorite places and favorite verses, but this has probably been my longest-lasting favorite verse, John 15:12, says, "This is my commandment." This is my commandment. Are y'all there? John 15:12. "This is my commandment. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Man, I love that. It's a commandment. He commands you to love like He loved. And Jesus has a really great love. He walked with His disciples for 3.5 years. Amen? Could you imagine being God and have to walk with human beings? Could you imagine walking with them and every time you say something, they contradict you? Amen? Or every time you say, "Hey, this is going to happen," they go, "How in the world is that going to happen? I don't really think we should do that." And you're God, right? And you clearly show yourself God over and over and over, healing the lame, healing the blind, healing the sick, walking on water, feeding 5,000. And when you say certain things, that's still, "How can these things be?" After a while, you'd think, "Man, why don't we just follow Him and listen to everything He says?" And then I kind of look at myself and ask the same questions. Amen? Why can't I do that? But then Jesus, this is an intimate moment before Jesus goes to the cross. He's telling His disciples, "Look, I love you and I want you to love like I love. I want you to give sacrificial love. Not love that's traded, but love, agape love, a love given before anything good's given to you, if it's ever given to you." Did you hear that last part? It might not ever be given to you. You love like that. Love like nobody can return it. Love like nobody else can give you back. Because being honest with you, Jesus' love is like that anyway, because we can't give back to Him anything that He give us. I hear people all the time, "Well, I'm just gonna give it back to God." Well, goodness gracious, you still would come up short. Amen? I wish our love would be that way, that people, they couldn't ever repay it. Amen? We got to love that way. Let's get into Word. I hope this is going to help you. I was telling Melissa, man, I preached a lot of messages over the years. Now, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, I can remember the first time I preached this. I preached this on the radio with a guy named Moses, and it was probably like the fifth or sixth message I ever preached. And it was like a 25-minute radio broadcast. And we were in this glass booth. And there was a guy over some knobs on the other side of the glass. And the guy looked at me and he said, "It's 25 minutes. Do you think you can do 25 minutes? And I was like, "I don't know." He goes, "How many verses you got?" I said, "I got one." He's like, "Well, okay, we'll have some filler music just in case. 2 or 3 songs to go behind your message if you don't finish the time." And I'm like, "Okay, thanks." 35 minutes later, the guy's in there going like this. "So you're not on the radio anymore." One verse. So, but I was thinking about this verse. This is one of my favorite verses, but I just love how simple this gets. "This is my commandment, that I love, that you love one another as I've loved you." Verse 13. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Jesus considers you his friend. Amen? Think about that. Man, I just think about when we get in this thing, we're thinking, well, God's looking down on me. He's keeping score. He's considered, well, he's God, and he's so far off, and I'm in this relationship. I'm barely hanging on to God. I'm barely in, just like the song, man, I don't even think I can get inside the gate. But you have a friend. Man, I wish you could get the tie-in from the Old Testament to the New Testament. David and Jonathan. See, it was the king loving somebody who shouldn't have been loved. Amen? Somebody who was sitting on the throne who shouldn't have been on the throne. We were on the throne of our own lives. I don't know if you know this, but Jonathan should have been the next king of Israel. But he took off his armor, he took off his crown, and he said, if I had the choice, I would choose David as king. No, but he wasn't saying, I choose David. What he was saying is, I choose the lineage that will bring forth Christ. He is the anointed one who will bring forth the anointed one. I would choose him over myself. So we had to come to that same place where we had to say, I got to choose Jesus over myself. Because the devil keeps saying, crown yourself. And we keep saying, no, we're trying to crown Christ. And ultimately, when we get to heaven, what do? We cast our crowns before the feet of Christ. We're friends. We're heirs to the kingdom of God. But when we get there, we don't even consider our right there is where that belongs, right? I love people talk about treasures in heaven. I love treasures in heaven. I love mansions in heaven. But I'll be honest, when we get to heaven, everything will be leaning towards Christ, saying, thank God we're here, and it's because I prefer you. That song that's going to be sung in heaven, that's never been sung. It's the number one song in heaven. He is worthy. Man, that should just give you the peace that passes all understanding. When we get to heaven and they say, there is none worthy, right, but one. Man, listen, just take off that righteous stuff just for a second. All you self-righteous, take it off. Just think about this. There ain't nobody in heaven who could stand up and go, I was good enough to get here. Everybody will lean forward and say, Jesus is the only reason we got here. Amen? The slain Lamb of God. When Jesus steps out as he's the only one that's got scars. He's the only one marred up. He's the only one that's got a body that looked like he's been to the cross. Guess what? We'll all be sitting there going, he's worthy. And we didn't do nothing to get here except believe in him. We're going to be in the presence of some big people. Big people on earth, right? And not one of them. Man, I love how John the Revelator said it. As soon as he fell on the ground as he was dead and said, man, we're done. That's John who wrote the God. Oh, man, we're done. He wrote Revelations. We're done. I love the angels. Stand up, son. Come on, just stay there. Get pull yourself together. Man, you're in heaven here. Look up. There's one. Hey, man, there's one. And he's your friend. Man, you got a friend in Christ Jesus. And just think about this. Don't go to all this weirdness, but just go to a person that you consider a real friend. Think about that. A person that you consider a real friend. A real friend will love you despite of you. Anybody in here got real friends? No, I'm not. I'm talking about you ain't got as many as you think you do, but do you have that friend who will sit down and you're mad at them and they're mad at you and they'll still show up? Because they told you the truth, or you told them the truth, or they said, hey, you're being yourself, stop it, you know. But they'll still come by and pick you up when you need to be picked up, love on you when you need to be loved on, and they'll be there when you need them the most. And that person, just think about that, that's Jesus, and he's good at it. And man, God's really good. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's one who says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And you got a promise. When he said, I died for you and I'm your friend, you got a friend that you can count on. Man, I'm going to be honest with you. He said, well, why did Jesus let so-and-so die then? Why in the world did this happen? Because the minute they took their last breath, Jesus was standing there and said, I've been waiting on you, friend. I've been waiting on you. Love you. I'll let you go through the shadow of death. It says beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. Listen, that's what it says in the Bible. Beautiful in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints.
And man, when I first read that, I'm like, my goodness, Lord, what's wrong with you? You're saying it's beautiful. He said, read the scripture again, Kevin. I didn't say the dying. I said the death. The dying hurts me as much as it hurts you. The death part, though, is when they get promoted. You ain't seen the other side. You want them to be healed, they're healed. You want them to be with family, they're with family. You wanted them to be well and be themselves. They are more than they've ever been. Oh, think about that. It's going to take some of us. I hate to preach on you like this, but when we get to heaven, it's going to take us a little bit to because we've seen somebody when they went out of this world. We're going to be sitting there looking for them, and we ain't going to find them. Man, I can't wait till we get to heaven and we see. I know I'm elementary in some of this. Them people, I got the gate going on, the gates of pearl, amen, streets paved with gold. Golly, I can't wait till we go up there and find a Lowe's and all of our building equipment's like stuff we treasured down here. Could you imagine the road crew up there paving the roads and, never mind. But praise God, there's going to be somebody up there just running wide open. And you're going to say, man, why are you running? They're going to say, I was handicapped the whole time I was on earth. I had no legs. I wasn't able, but I put my trust and faith in God. And since I've been up here, I've been able to do whatever I want to do, so I wanted to run a while. Amen. Amen, preacher. I'm going to be honest with you. Man, heaven is more than we can imagine. Man, listen, more than you can consider, more than you can think, and more than you can imagine. More than you can imagine? Golly, but minds think about that. I got a vivid imagination. Man, we go to get to heaven and it's going to be more than I can imagine. Goodness gracious. Y'all might not want to be my neighbor. I'm going to be silly. Amen? Y'all might want to move down the street and be with some of the normal people. Because if God will let me act up down, I'm going to act up up there. Say, you don't belong. You're right, I don't. But he grafted me in. Amen. Let me get to that. I'm sorry, I about preach a point before I get to it. Greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. If you don't do what God says, you're not a friend of his. I'm going to preach to you. If you'd let me, I want to tell you this. If you're always saying, but I don't agree with what the Word of God says, I don't agree with God, guess what? You're not his, period. We're sitting there trying to think, well, I don't think that's right. I don't think the Word of God is up to date. Praise God. The Word of God doesn't change. We're the ones who change. We're the ones who think that God somehow has to conform to be right with us when he says, I'm God and I change not. And the reason you sit there and go, well, God's just sticking to my... No, God's smarter than us. He knows what corrupt is, and he knows what death is, and he knows where life is. Life is in following him. Death is in following ourselves. I don't know if you've ever tried this experiment, but I did for 30 years. I tried to let myself reign. It's miserable. But as soon as I put him in charge, it's amazing. Relationships work out. Jobs work out. Man, things work out. Why? Because guess what? His commandments bring forth life instead of death. It's amazing. And people want to argue about it. They can argue, but it ain't going to get them no good. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. This is my favorite part. Look, this is so good. If you don't like this kind of stuff, you need to get on the altar quickly. This verse 15, henceforth, verse 16, ye have not chosen me. Golly, take you a big bold marker and underline that. Highlight it. Do something right there. Listen, have you ever thought, man, I'm not good enough. Listen, he chose you. Golly, bum. He chose you. Yes, you. Man, sometimes I wonder about God, but guess what? When I'm on my worst day, I'm talking about when I've had my worst day, When I failed God on my worst level, when I think, man, God, you ain't never going to speak to me again. You ain't never going to speak to me through your word. If I pray, it's going to hit the ceiling. Matter of fact, it'd be good if it makes it to the ceiling. I mean, God, you're just done with me. I'd be done with me. And he just whispers back, I chose you. I chose you. I knew you. Golly bum. Man, some of y'all wouldn't even choose yourself. God chose you. And then you're sitting there wondering, well, I don't know why this. I don't know either, but guess what? If somebody chooses you, golly bum, it's the closest thing you got when somebody comes up and says, I just want you. Why? I don't know. I just do. Amen? But God does that. Oh, never mind. Let me go a little further with you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I love when people say, well, I'm going to talk to the man upstairs and get all settled. No, you're not. Not if he don't choose you. Not if he don't come deal with you first. Amen? The Spirit of God draws you to salvation. You don't draw yourself. Better come when you're drawn. Better stop looking around going, well, I'll come up here one day, or I'll do this one day. Hey, you better do it when the whole Spirit of God's drawing you. Because when the Spirit of God's drawing you, you get some stuff done. You wait till the end, you might not know if it'll come by or not. I ain't trying to scare you, I'm just trying to tell you the truth. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you. What? I love this. If there's one preacher in the house, I just need you to hear this. I have ordained you, one deacon, one councilman. I have ordained you, one singer in here, somebody who's serving God. I have ordained you. What? We act like we're trying to climb a ladder of success to reach some pinnacle in ministry. If you met with God, you met Him first. You come down to meet with anybody else. I've had people act like they was going to promote me in the ministry. You don't have to do nothing for me. I'm in Jesus Christ. He called me. He chose me. He ordained me. If He did, who are you? Somebody said, if you don't do this right, they won't ordain you. They won't license you. I don't want to get in so bad for that. I want to tell people about Jesus. I just want to preach. Can I tell you why? God, I'm about to lose my mind. Can I tell you what this looked like when I first got it? I'd read it, and I didn't even know it. I still don't know enough of it. I'd read it, and I'd preach to carpet. I wrapped carpet at a carpet mill when I got saved. Yarn, thousands and thousands and thousands of bales of yarn would come by me, and I would read something in the Word of God, and I would lay that book down, and I would preach to carpet all night long. I mean, woo! I would lay it down. I thought, my God, how does anybody know that this stuff's in there? And there was a guy who would pick up all the yarn with a squeeze hyster, didn't think, and he would look up there as a Hawaiian guy, and he would look up there and go, and I still think some of that yarn and carpet got saved. And if there's any carpet in heaven, it'll be from that WE plant that came down that line, because I laid some of the best messages I ever laid down right there on that track. You know why? Because I was ordained by God to preach. And I figured I'll preach to anything, anybody, anywhere. I don't need a man to say, hey, you can do this. I didn't think I could do it anyway. But the one who called me said, I put something in you that if you'll let me, I can get it out of you. Praise God. Some of y'all are trying to impress the whole world. You're trying to impress them with the church you go to, the clothes you wear, the things you do. God's already pleased with you. He loves you. He chose you. He picked you. He ordained you. Don't, praise God, stop worrying if you fit in or not. You don't. But you do with God. And that's all right. We're sitting there trying to get, oh, do you like me? Do you like me? You know what? It doesn't matter if they like you or not. God likes you. He's your best friend. Somebody said, well, they probably ain't never going to call somebody like you. You need to calm down some. I have calmed down quite a bit. I don't like it, but I guess it's just old age. Amen? I've calmed down some, but you know what I told them? Listen to this. I ain't calming down. I ain't slowing down. I ain't never going to quit.
Because he chose me and he ordained me. Only reason I'm going to quit is if I'm physically unable or if I'm in heaven. And if I'm in heaven, I don't got to preach no more. And that's an awesome thing. We ain't got to tell anybody about the thing we're looking at. Our faith ends in sight. Whew. Ain't nothing like heaven being a silent preacher, walking in there and going, man, that's the thing we've been talking about ever since. Whew, amen. Golly, bum. I wasn't planning on preaching this hard when I got here, but I'm glad we're here, ain't you? Let's go back. I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that the fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. God didn't save you to have a profession of the day that you got saved. He saved you that you should have fruit of that day, and fruit that remains. You should be a constant disciple of Christ, making disciples of Christ continuously until the day that you're taken home. Your fruit should remain. There shouldn't be one fruit. Yeah, I got saved that one day so many years ago. There should be fruit that remains always and growing and continuing, that you may feed others in many different aspects and ways. When somebody comes to you, you can offer them salvation. When somebody comes to you, you can offer them help. When somebody comes to you, you can offer them encouragement. And sometimes somebody can come to you and you can just love on each other and bless each other and strengthen each other. Amen? That's what the fruit is. The fruit remains. You're a Christian and people can see it. And you should be making other Christians. That's a fact. You should produce other believers. Whew. Your fruit should remain. These things I command you that you love one another. There it is again. If you don't love other people, that is a big indicator that you didn't get Christ Jesus. I'm being honest with you. I didn't even know what love was till I got saved. And when I got saved, all of a sudden, it's like the biggest fruit. There's two big fruits there. You know what they are? One is love. Because the minute you get up off the altar, get up off the place where you got saved, the first thing that's going to usually come out of your mouth is, I just love everybody. And you don't even know what you're talking about. But what it is the scales have been lifted. You can see who you was, and you see that somebody loved you when you were unlovable. Now you're going to love somebody because somebody loved you when you were unlovable. All of a sudden you realize, man, I'm forgiven, and I don't deserve it. Next biggest fruit is this right here becomes, my God, I didn't even realize this was here. I still ain't got over this book. I ain't got over my salvation, and I ain't got over the book. I mean, I still read this, and sometimes I read it, and I go, my gosh, it still says that. Verse 18, if the world hates you, you should know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. And because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Listen, because they know not him that sent me. They're not really mad at you. They're mad because they don't know God. Here's what I referred to this morning. This is going to be some tough road, and let's just pave it. Amen? I see a lot of people, a lot of popular, famous people that are in ministry, and they get on CNN or they get on some TV show, and they'll get in there and they'll ask them. They'll say, what do you think about this sexuality, homosexual? What do you think about gay marriage? What do you think about abortion? And I'm hearing all kinds of people in ministry, and I'm hearing all kinds of people who are running for government office who will say, God's okay with it. And I'm sitting here going, my goodness, if God was okay with everything that you're saying, then how in the world does the world hate God? How come would it hate Jesus? And why would it hate you? Because let me tell you something. This is what God says about sexuality. Any sex outside of biblical marriage is sin, period. Any sex outside of biblical marriage is sin. Period. That's any. And biblical marriage is man married to a woman. Period. Period. And abortion. Well, God's in this and he's in that. Listen, thou shalt not kill. I formed you in the womb. I knit you in the womb. I designed you. When you kill a baby, you're a killer. Amen? That's the truth. I don't care who asks you, and I don't care. You say, well, man, you're never going to get on one of those shows, are you? I wish they would. I wish they would. I'm being honest. You say, well, you'll be hated. You'll be threatened. You'll be told. And you know what? And I'll stand there and tell the truth, because guess what? Why in the world would they hate Jesus? Why would they hate Jesus if he was for everything they say he's for? He's not. And why do they hate the church so bad? Because we're not for what we're for what the Word of God says. Now, don't leave here tonight and say, well, man, that preacher. Listen to this. I love people. And people can get forgiveness of any sin and every sin. Homosexuality, abortion, they can get forgiveness. But let me tell you this, and this works for my own personal sin. I can't come in here and say, well, God's going to just have to deal with who I am. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. He didn't work for me either. Amen? It didn't work for me either. Because I can make some things look, hey, God, you don't know my situation. I need to have this affair. I need to do this. No, you don't. Amen? God's not in that. Whew. Just truth. Just truth. And we're sitting here in a time and age where we got people who are singing Christian music and preaching Christian messages, yet when they get pulled down to it, they'll say no because they're afraid to get rid of people. Listen, some people have to walk away, and some people have to stay. If you're not going to believe in the Word of God, you can walk away. I don't want you to walk away. I want you to embrace Christ. But guess what? God will not bless a mess. He won't bless my mess, and he won't bless your mess. If you want to get things straightened up, guess what? All you got to do is figure out what God says and follow it to the keep my commandments. You'll love me if you keep my commandments. And you ain't mad at anybody. You ain't mad at the preacher. You ain't mad at the church. You ain't mad at nobody else. You're just mad at God because God said this is the way it works. This is the way it works. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. You know what he said? When I came and I worked the miracles and I done the things. But see, that was all right with them. When they seen the blind have sight, when they seen the deaf have hearing, when they seen the lame walk, they were all like, man, that's amazing. But as soon as that happened, there was a big enough crowd around, they would say, all right, everybody's here. You must repent from your sins. Everybody here is a sinner. You're either forgiven of your sin or you're not. But he would take every opportunity and say, you're living in your sin, you must come out of your sin. Amen? Every miracle was followed by a message. There was power, and they knew he was God, but they didn't like the message. They didn't have a problem with Jesus as much as they had a problem with God. Amen? Do you understand? And I love when he said they had no cloak. That right there means they had no excuse. Guys, we don't have any excuse. We don't have any excuse. And we're saying, well, Kevin, listen, it's 2020, and we're kind of, you know, we're against it here. We got to kind of, you know, get along to get along, right? But I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. I don't find that in the Bible. What I find in the Bible is this. Let me show you. Verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which is no other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and the Father. Verse 25, but this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in the law. They hated me without cause. Verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Woo-hoo. Guess what? Jesus left and sent us a comforter, which is also a witness that we must say and do the same things that Christ was saying and doing. We are a witness for Christ of the same things that this book says. Because the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit all agree about the Word. And we're witnesses. And there's power in it. Can I help you right here just for a second? Can I help you? Because we're sitting here going, man, you're asking me just almost to commit suicide right here in this world. No, here's what I'm going to tell you. And everybody in here should know this. When you share the gospel truth in love with the witness of the Holy Spirit, it changes people. Amen? The person that you thought would reject, hate you, kill you, destroy you, do whatever, you thought, man, I can't believe I'm going to share the gospel with this one. I can't believe God's got me going over here to tell this person who I know is operating way outside the bounds of sin, and I'm going to tell them they're going to hate me until they get saved. Do you know what my first responses to the gospel were? Shut up and get out of my face. I don't want to hear that. I don't like you. No, I'd said it more like this. I hate you. But you know what happens when you really... See, the gospel works like this. See, the Holy Spirit is a witness. And see, inside of you is this desire. See, God designed you and made you. And you're always desiring to go back to God. Amen? And somebody, well, how about the atheists? They're the worst of any kind. Amen? They're fighting God with everything they got. And I used to say stuff, I mean crazy stuff. But every time I got witnessed to, after I left their company, guess what happened? God started working on me. Right? One planted, one watered, and in one day, God gave the increase. But without the planting and without the watering, how's the increase going to come? Amen? They might hate you, but the minute the seed takes root, they will come running. Chris Marlowe, this old kid, I worked with him. He was crazy. I worked with him for years at Shaw, and I got saved, and I'd do that crazy stuff, preaching, and I'd share my faith wherever I went. And man, I remember one weekend, I was sitting there, he goes, I'm going to come to your church. And at the time, I was going to what I call a cornbread and desert church. Every time we went, it was like eating cornbread in the desert. It's not good. And I was thinking, I was praying to myself, I said, oh my gosh. He goes, give me the address, I'm coming. I'm like, dude, this guy needs Jesus, and I'm wondering who's preaching. So I start praying. I said, God, bring him to my church if somebody's preaching. But God, if not, let him go somewhere where Jesus get a hold of him. And this guy was resistant to this gospel some. He was living in all kinds of different ways, living in a bad relationship after bad relationship. And man, I remember praying. He said, I'm coming up there Sunday. I'm coming. I'm thinking, God, help him. Help him. Don't either come. Don't God, just get in somewhere. You know what? He said, I was driving up your way. Let me tell you how it came in order. I went to work on Monday. I'm sitting on this machine, and all of a sudden I hear this guy running out through there calling, Brother Kevin! I knew it was something up right then. Because you don't get, until you get saved, don't call people brother and sister. Brother, you ain't going to believe what happened. I went, I know what happened. You're shouting. And you're calling me brother. I got saved. And I mean, he was acting a fool. I loved it. I got saved. That stuff you were telling me about, I got it. I'm sitting there going, hey, praise God. He said, I was on my way to your church Sunday. And I was driving by, and I looked at this sign on the church, and it said revival on it. And it's like the car turned itself in there. I was like, thank you, God. He whipped off in there, got in there in revival, and heard a gospel message. And the next thing you know, he was on the altar getting saved. Next Monday, he was in the workplace running up and down the aisles telling everybody he got saved. But I can tell you, I can take you back to the very first times when he had asked me, what do you think about this? I'd say, you're always going to be in a mess if you keep living this way outside the will of God. And he would look at me and go,
Man, I hate when you tell me stuff like that. It makes me so mad because I've got to live this way. I said, no, you don't. If you'll surrender to Christ, He can make a way where there seems to be no way for you. He goes, I just can't see it. I said, I couldn't either. But I got saved, and guess what? Things got better. And man, year after year, you could just see Him growing. Amen? You can just see Him. You were right. Sitting around reading His Word, praying. His relationship with His wife then worked. Man, it's how it works. Some of us think, man, we're going to commit suicide. Listen, God's better than that. If you think, man, oh, well, God's going to make me a pariah. No, He's not. He's going to promote you and send you to places. Listen, everybody wanted to kill Paul. But they couldn't kill him until God was done with him. They thought they were killing him. They were just pushing him to the destination. You're going to Rome. We're going to kill him. They people got together and said, we're going to pray and fast that we kill you. They set up ambushments. Can I preach a little bit? Guess what they did? They took him, they drug him outside the city, and they stoned him to death. That's awesome. No, it's not. It's crazy. All of his friends come out and went, oh my God, they killed him. And all of a sudden, this is in the Bible. Paul got up. Where are we preaching that next? That's in your Bible. They stoned him to death. They left him for dead. Paul stood up, said, what town are we going into? I forgot. Paul was shipwrecked. Walking around with barbarians. And this is unheard of. There's something wrong. He went and gathered a bunch of sticks. Walked over to the fire. And everybody's like, hey, man, look, a preacher's working. Shut your mouth. He threw the sticks down. And guess what? A viper grabbed a hold of him. He's a dead man. He just shook it off. Some of y'all need just to shake it off. The devil's bit you, but man, he ain't going to kill you until it's time for God to let you come home. So shake it off. He shook it off. First thing they said, man, you're cursed. No, didn't even swell. You're not cursed. You're blessed. So you don't think that's the same God you got. That's the same friend you got. It's the same friend you got. Verse 27, and you shall bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Since the day that you were saved, you've been with Him. And you'll be with Him from that day until the end. Because He who has began a good work in you is able to finish and keep it. Amen? If He's began the work in you, He will finish the work in you. Some of y'all are going, man, I don't know if I can do it. You don't have to do it. He's working on you. He's the potter and you are the clay. Amen? Just stay on the wheel. Just stay on the wheel. Let's all stand.